From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
And Chris, Stephen, Chris, still call this man. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen?
What's happening? What's going on? Welcome to the Big Blue Roundtable. The preview of the game before the Washington football team. And it's going to be some really interesting conversations tonight, Azul, with some heavy hitters are in the queue right now. And I would digress by saying simply that I want everyone to try to be as kind as they can on these podcasts. I know that's probably
don't do that. Don't be kind. Be mean as fuck. Be mean as fuck. This is the episode.
I tried.
This is the one, man. Yeah. This is the one I think they are looking forward to, Chris. Do not hold back. Yes. Yeah, we could talk football analysis. We could talk matchups on the field and how we're eventually going to lose it and how Joe Judge is going to burn timeouts prematurely. However, if you are one of those Giant fans who have a lot to say who needs to be fired, i.e. the coach, i.e. the general manager, what management should do, this is the episode. You can do that tonight. That is going down. Feel free. By all means, we will let the clock run for that, man.
Okay, let me...
Yeah, Chris,
let me... Go ahead. You're right. Just let it go. And all of us are long-time diehard. There are no kids on this podcast. Let's just have it because we've had enough. We're all exhausted, and we're not filled with glee this season. And it's just been enormously, incredibly. I have nothing else. That's why we have this show, where the podcasters, I mean the frontliners and the stakeholders come on and stake their claim, because you all have a part of this team. If you bought a jersey, even 20 years ago, then that means you have really staked your claim in here. So that's how it works, Steve.
One more thing. From me, and then we'll bring on roll call. If you are one of those fans who is a season ticket holder, a PSL holder, or one of those fans who just, you go to games on the road like crazy, hotel packages, and you are bitching about how much you spent on the team and did not return the dividends because of a poor season, you can rant and rave about your bitching tonight. Today's the episode, because, I mean, really, the football analysis, the team checked out weeks ago, months ago. I mean, that shit was terrible in Chicago. Well, we got to talk about that a little bit. We didn't come on for that, right?
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. All right. First things first. Any house cleaning we need to do, Stephen?
Oh yeah, one more last thing. Confidence picks later in the show. We are at our last week, and Carl and I are in a dead heat. You and Lady Blue are a little further behind, but kind of out of the race. We got the confidence picks with Steelers at Ravens, Chargers at Raiders, Cowboys at Eagles, and of course, Washington football team at the Giants. And feel free to sound off on others' news tonight as well. Or, with the Washington football team going to announce their new mascot in a few weeks or whatever. And also the Antonio Brown situation, what happened to them at Life last week with the Jets. You guys think about that. Feel free. It's open table tonight, man. Giant shit, whatever, man.
Oh, my good. Okay. 929-477-4171 is the number here for the Bleed Blue Show, Big Blue Roundtable, Bleed Blue Show. And Bleed Blue Show is what you check out when you go to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of the social media. Or just look it up and you'll see it. You'll come in right to us with the blue logo that says Bleed Blue, loud and clear. Who is in the house tonight? I think this is one of my favorite people of all time. Ed, Big Blue Huddle. Say hello to everyone, sir.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're here.
You know, I see all these wonderful trips that you guys take when you tailgate and some beautiful pictures out there. It's too bad you've been seeing some pretty lousy football, you know. And Chris, yeah. I see you on Facebook all the time, you know, and sometimes we've chatted.
I have to hang out offline here. I have to hang out with you one day. Your pictures are phenomenal, man. I like what you do. I like what you do, but we'll talk about that some other time. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
You and I—we gotta hook up someday. Yeah, definitely.
We got to. I'll be right back because this Carl from the C Notes, the stakeholder of the year himself, he is in the house. Carl, what's up, Chief?
Happy New Year, gentlemen. High school football is still going on. Did I miss something?
Yes. Just the entire. Wait a minute. Do we even have a highlight this year after 17 games?
No. No, none. Zero.
I can remember one, though. I can remember one.
I mean, there is, but I choose not to go and look at the tapes. They're
gotcha.
Too gruesome.
Gotcha.
We have to search. I'll be right back, Carl. Worm. The Worm. Himself.
Hello,
sir. How's every little thing?
Pretty good. Just recovering.
Recovering?
Right.
What? From
yeah,
what,
recovering.
From what?
Corona.
Oh.
Oh, man.
You're old man.
You're better, man.
How are you, man?
Good. Just still get winded and my chest gets tight.
But are you better than you were days ago without going any further?
Yeah, I'm a lot better. Yeah, I'm a lot better than what I was.
Yeah, we need you healthy,
better.
Bro. We don't need you. Ed just the tailgates. I don't go to all of them, but the ones I do go, you're always there. I need you there when I get there. Okay?
You got
I need
it.
You there.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I'll be there.
Get the ginger worm. Get the ginger worm. Get it. Get the ginger, man. I'm telling you.
I bought it.
Ginger.
Did you cut it up?
All right.
Boil that sucker.
Yeah. I cut it up. It tasted pretty good.
It's not bad.
I had a couple cups and drank it down.
It works. Trust. It works.
Yeah, it did.
Okay. So,
all right.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh boy. Okay. Normally, I have. See, look, I'm going to do this. I like the stakeholders to talk. I don't do talking. I like to just manage everything, make sure they say what they have to say. But I just got to get this 3 minutes out of the way, and that'll be it for me for tonight. And I'll just moderate or see what the Ed's, Worms, and Carl's of the world have to say. I just want to say one thing. My first Giant game was in 1970 as part of the Police Athletic League's special trip to Yankee Stadium. And we were all supposed to see the Yankees that year, but something happened with the tickets, and we ended up getting the bargain basement New York Giant tickets. And I've got my very first game was in Yankee Stadium, and I got to meet really, really cool fans before I knew what a football – I didn't understand anything about football plays, formations, nothing. I was a little kid, and I learned quickly that there is such a thing as a great fan base immediately. There was a couple that I met there. There were Stellies. I don't know whatever happened to them, but I remember them clearly. And they had been season ticket holders since 1954. And I met them, and I kind of hung out with them for a little while till the counselor came and – tried to take me away, and they said, oh, no, we got him. You know, it's a different era then where you can take somebody's kid and trust them. I don't know what happened. But I've been a fan of the Giants ever since because in my house, where there was nothing but guys, you know, everyone was a Jets fan in Queens. You know, and when you're a Jets fan, and at that time, Joe Namath was like what LeBron James is now. You know, he was the king. And so everybody was a Jets fan, the whole entire block, the whole entire area. So I had to be a Giants fan, dude. Let me just put it that way. I had to go here. And I've been here for 51 years. Now, I didn't see a playoff team from this team until I was, 21? something like that, with Phil Simms and I think his name was Randy Bruner. They got us. They shared quarterback duties, and they got us to the playoffs under Parcells. I think it was Parcells. Might have been the other guy, Ray Perkins. I'm not sure. But anyway, I've been a fan of this team a long time. They've lost much longer than they have won. Okay, I've bought the season tickets. I've hung out at the tailgate. I bought the merchandise over and over and over again. I have yelled, screamed, 3 man caves. I've got gauntlets. I've got everything to prove that, hey, I am a lifetime Bleed Blue fan. I've cheered with them when they sucked. I cheered with them when they won Super Bowls. But I was always a fan, and I still am a fan, and that's just the way it's going to be. So having said that, I have to say, and this is just coming from me, this is the worst team they've had in a very long time. And I'm not just talking about the record. I'm talking about the personnel on offense mostly, but more importantly, upstairs, throughout the building, throughout the workout facility, throughout the other building where they have workouts and personnel, the scouting situation. Everything about this team sucks. Everything. The 0-6 team the other year and a few other things, they can't compare to this because what happens is there is no culture here. They're bad. They've always had some kind of personality, but I can't find one this year. And this is a annoying problem for me. I don't know where we go. It's not as simple as, oh, well, you know, replace the quarterback. Nah, it's more to it than that. You know, if this was a McDonald's franchise, you would have saw this place burn down. It's bad. And that's what I'm seeing now. And I just had to get that out because everyone – that is a stakeholder, is a frontliner, has to know what the hell they're cheering for, if anything. Okay? We've had, what, 5 quarterback guys play quarterback in the last 4 years after having one guy play for 15 in a row? We've had four coaches? 1, 2, 3. 3 coaches after we've had the one coach for 10 years in a row or something like that? That means the coach is bad. That means something needs to be changed. That means something has to be gutted. And it just sucks. And that's what I needed to say, and I needed to get it out since I'm getting all these questions about, how do you really – you ended it – look, just not one thing. You have to change culture if you're going to sell something. That's
30
all I
seconds
for
me. 30 seconds for me, please, before we get to the stakeholders, please.
Yes,
I'll be real quick. I'm tired of Mike Glennon. I'm tired of the fucking offensive line shit show. I'm tired of the lack of will of just not putting it out there week to week. And we know that the crazy thing is we know it's going to happen and they still do it. This is probably the worst season I ever seen. And then also the head coach, the salesman talk when he first got hired, we got all that shit he was talking about. We're going to have a team that the New York to New Jersey is going to be proud for, you know, come to work with their lunch pail and all that other crap he was saying. No way. Not after this shit. The nightmare is fucking over. Now, the question is, will he be released after the game on Sunday, him and the general manager? That's my question for the stakeholders tonight. And also, Chris, my fantasy football season, personally, I lost in the championship game. So that's another plug. Next week we'll be here at 8 o'clock for the NFL playoffs. So if you want to get on here for the NFL playoffs, so some real football teams compete, come back here at 8 o'clock and we'll talk those matchups. All right, I'm done.
Okay.
Let them go ahead. I can't really wait to hear.
Let's do it. What's your order, Steve? I'm sorry. I'm getting a bunch of
feedback. Ed is first. I think Carl is after that in the war.
Okay. Got it. 929-477-4171. You're listening to the Big Blue Roundtable. Here comes Ed from the Big Blue. Hey, Ed, you know what? Ed.
Yeah.
Glennon passed for minus 10 yards. Well, the team passed for minus 10 yards against Chicago. And these aren't the 86 Bears they were playing either. Okay? That was that's very commonplace when, you know, in the 1920s and early 30s to have a stat like that because it was a novelty. But this is an era where 4,500 yards passing might get you in 15th place. That's where we are with this team, okay? And I just wanted to get that out for you to just set it off from here on with that, sir.
Well, you want me to comment on Glennon? I mean, you know, I don't have a lot of confidence in him. You know, but I think – but part of the problem with that Chicago game is that he – is that Freddie Kitchens, who I'm not a fan of, and Joe Judge came in with this game plan, and it was a horrible game plan. I mean, here this pass rush is a superior pass rush. They didn't do anything to help protect the quarterback. They kept the tight ends in twice. Two snaps, okay? They just let them just run free. So, I mean, this guy was shell-shocked. Now, they started to run the game after initially trying to pass it, and that was the right thing to do, in my opinion. But then at some point when you're behind after the halftime and it's getting into the third quarter, you know, you got to be able to throw the ball. You got to be able to hit with some swing passes. You got to open up. You have to start throwing downfield. They didn't do it. He played to lose that fucking game. I'm sorry. Can I say that?
Yes,
okay.
You can.
Yeah, all right. He played the losing fucking game, okay? He did, all right? And that poor guy, he kept him in the entire game. He had he has a broken wrist. God knows when he broke his wrist, his left wrist, so he's on IR now. But, you know, at that point, the poor guy's shell-shocked. They could have brought in Fromm at one point. All right, I get it. So they're going to start Fromm this week. And if they don't do something to help Fromm, you know, get started, you know, they have to establish a run game, and they weren't able to do it. Look, even if they kept the tight ends in, even if they brought in another offensive lineman to just get the run game going to help, you know, first of all, they you know, Skira had to be moved over to center because Billy Price was out for the game, okay? You know, his wife had a miscarriage, and he had a horrible game. So they, you know, they did things. They had to shuffle up the lineup. Andrew Thomas played well. You know, they brought in, I'm trying to remember who the left guard is that they brought in. Starts with I mean, originally it was Martin, and then they came and they brought in someone in after him. Bredesen. So he played pretty well, you know, but Soldier played lousy, and then they were blitzing, and it wasn't pretty. Chris, you had a question about something. You asked a question. What was that?
Nah, you pretty much covered it.
Steve had a question. Steve had a question.
Oh.
What was your question?
Oh. If is Joe Judge and or Gettleman after Sunday's game, are they going to be fired? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Gettleman's retiring. I don't think they're going to fire him, but he's got to go. I mean, it's a disaster. He didn't protect that offensive line, and it wasn't a good plan coming into the season. So when he, you know, that whole thing started with them. You know, I had season tickets. You know that. I didn't buy my season tickets this year. I gave up my seat license. I just had enough because I knew it was going to be a bad season. I had no idea it was going to be this bad. Joe Judge, I mean, the handwriting on the wall is they want to keep Joe Judge. They like him. You know what? Quite frankly, he hasn't shown me anything. And with these press conferences, and he's blaming other people now, you know, he's trying to throw people under the bus so that he's lobbying to keep his position. You know, look, the players like him. I don't know if he's a player coach, but you know, look, Isaiah Wilson, you know, he enabled him. This guy was sleeping at meetings. You know, I don't know what else is going on there. So behind the scenes, but you know what? He doesn't prepare the team to win or even to play the game. And he fired Jason Garrett midseason. He fires the offensive coordinator because, you know, he wanted to fire him last year. I guess he was, you know, he had a chip on his shoulder because he felt he had to take him because he was a new coach coming in and Mara wanted to have somebody there that had some experience. But it was a big mistake because Freddie Kitchens been a disaster, and he can't prepare the team to play. So now Daniel Jones gets hurt, and the guy, you know, he puts him out in the run game, you know, read option and RPO, and you know, he dives head first trying to get yards, and and he gets hurt. He's out for the season. His career might be over. You know, we don't know that. They have never called it straight, and they're not going to tell us if this is a career-ending neck injury for him or not, because it's going to compromise their position in the draft. So not being prepared, we're scoring 3 points a game, really? You know, Freddie Kitchens, so, you know, what GM is going to come in now and want to deal with Joe Judge if they want to keep him? Mara's been too involved. And in my opinion, I think they got to go outside the organization. They got to find somebody that's a GM that's going to come in and really right the ship here. I think Joe Judge is the answer, but I think they're going to wind up keeping him. Maybe if they hire outside and they don't go with Abrams as the general manager. I mean, a lot of people respect him in the organization, but I do think they have to go outside. And I don't think they're going to fire Joe Judge. And I think if Daniel Jones doesn't have a career-ending injury, they want to keep him and give him another chance. But if you go outside and you're going to mandate to any general manager that you want to keep the head coach and the quarterback and don't let him make those decisions, nobody's going to want to take that job. So, you know, I don't think they're going to fire Joe Judge. If it was up to me, I'd fire Joe Judge and I would fire Dave Gettleman. And I'd go out and I'd really try to find a general manager who can, you know, that you could bring in, and he's going to bring in a head coach with some fresh ideas, a good offensive coordinator, because if it's Joe Judge, you're dealing with Fredo Kitchens again. That's who he's going to bring in. What offensive coordinator is going to come in and work under those conditions, knowing that Joe Judge can be gone at any time? So,
oh,
I actually
thought that's really loud. That's crazy.
Let me tell you, that's Ed. Don't you go anywhere. Ed, Big Blue, huddle, everyone. Wow, man. You know what, Ed? I think you should be the general manager, but that's another time. About that, we'll ask. Wow. All right, moving on. Carl, at the C-Notes. Well, it's your turn. Get up to the mic, Phil, sir.
Well, Ed certainly couldn't do any worse than the guys that have been running the team the last 5 years anyway. So, I mean, that goes without saying. You know, I could go into a rant on everybody, and I probably should. But we can see. I'll save my thing on Crazy Man for a later time. I probably should, but I'll hold it to a later time. But I was, you know, I wrote these words down today because there was something that was in my head about the way folks have looked at this season, and I wrote down the words belief, and I wrote down the word expect, and I looked those up in the dictionary, and belief is defined according to the dictionary as confidence, faith, and trust. And expect is defined as to look forward, regard as likely to happen, anticipate the occurrence or the coming of. So clearly those are two different words, right? So when I look at this season, because I feel like there is a – how should I put this? The way the fans have taken this season, I'm not totally sure what folks were looking for going into the season. Did folks believe the team was good, or did folks expect the team to be good? There's a difference between the two.
And
gentlemen, you know, since May, and I've been talking about this since May, I think I brought it up a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to have to bring it up again. When the over-under number on this team came out from the sports book, it had 7 wins attached, which was essentially this, if you take into account the extra game because of the 17 games, they basically had the Giants being no better this year than they were last year. So when you start from that prism, you either believe that that number was wrong and adjusted your expectations of the team based on a theory that you had, a wish, a hope, a dream, whatever, that the team was better than what was being projected. Because essentially the team – until the quarterback got hurt, and even if he didn't get hurt, I'm kind of wondering, they probably would have been very close to what that number represented. You know, what were folks expecting, or folks just did folks when 424 on when four when it was 424 on September 12th, a minute before the opening kickoff of this season. I'm just asking everybody, and I'll throw it around to everybody. Were you believing the team was going to be good this season, or did you expect the team to be good this season? Because if you believed the team could be good, okay, I can work with that. But if you expected the team to be better, that was just a hope, a wish, and a dream. And the Giants played out essentially kind of what was expected. You know, obviously there was some, you know, what we've seen the last few weeks goes without standing. And so did the Giants do anything completely different than what was really projected? Probably not. And so we look ahead here, and, you know, we've got Crazy Man, you know, foaming at the mouth, doing whatever it is he's doing. I've established that from the day he was hired, that this guy was a boob. But you had folks, some on this, you know, not on this call right now, but some that would call in, and obviously they don't call when they lose, you know, mention the fact that, oh, this is part of Judge's plan, Gettleman's plan. You probably have heard it on this program. We just ask, what is that plan? You've heard people mention this. We've had 2 years. You tell me what that plan was, is, should be, because there is zero evidence that any plan exists. This year, they are no better today than when we had this conversation 4 years ago. They are no better today than then. I remember asking Steve, some of you guys weren't here before the season started. This was like maybe a week or two before the season. I told Steve, I said, Steve, you know, is this team offensively any better than the team that took the field 4 years ago? And we had to think about it for a second. But nothing really has changed. So as we proceed and go forward here, I would just ask, what is the plan, if there was one to begin with? And two, did folks believe stuff that didn't exist? Or did people expect something that wasn't real?
Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting. Worm, answer that from Carl at the C Notes, please. By the way, everyone who listens to Big Blue, 929-477-4171. Go ahead, Worm.
Hey, I mean, I was kind of hoping they'd be, you know, show some type of improvement, but they've regressed horribly. They showed nothing, no type of improvement anywhere. And, you know, I don't know what the hell Joe Judge is trying to sell, but this dude's either smoking some type of crack or he's, like, delusional. They haven't shown anything. And I think the NFL needs to show up in his office and drug test this fool. Now, getting into my rant. When I was a kid, it was a badge of honor to have season tickets for the Giants, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You would have your name put on the waiting list. Usually when you were born, your father would usually do it for you. And by the time, you know, you become of age, there's a chance you get the phone call. We had the tickets in the old building through a family friend. When the PSLs came out, we couldn't afford the PSL at that point, and they were breaking up our crew that we sat with, which we requested to sit with. And they wouldn't work with us, so we told them to take the season tickets and shove it. 5-6 years ago, I finally got them in my name. I was able to afford the PSL, the tickets, the parking, you know, whatever. Fast forwarding to now, these tickets is basically like a bad timeshare run by John Mara's reject family members. You get off the plane, you show up at the resort, you check into your room, you find the AC is broken, the bed has bed bugs, and the mini bar is non-existent. You leave to go home, you check out, they hand you a Pepsi that's flat from 10 years ago and a moldy fucking sandwich. And then they hand you an envelope with an invoice for the next season. That's basically what the season tickets are now. Okay? moving into this, we get to watch a clown. Let's call him the head clown. Bill Belichick wannabe, in a hooded sweatshirt in 80 degrees weather in Miami, getting outcoached and outplayed on all facets of the game, while we get to come home and wash it down with not with not a large, but a medium Pepsi, which is mostly all friggin' ice, and it's one per account holder on Fan Appreciation Day, which is the biggest slap in the face. That was absolutely insane. Now, if you really wanted to have a Fan Appreciation Day, they should have taken John Mara, chair on the 50-yard line, stripped him down to a guinea tea in his underwear, gave us chocolate cream pies, and let us just hit him in the face with them. That would have been a good Fan Appreciation Day gift. On to Dave Gettleman. This dude stole 3 to 4 years of our lives. And
there you go.
A good almost $4,000 out of my pocket with his Hog Motley's nonsense and his trust the process and his Giants pride nonsense. That Giants pride left the building with Tom Coughlin. This team needs to go and hire somebody outside of the organization that has no ties to John Mara, that has no ties to the Giants. Okay, it can't be a recycled GM off the trash heap and somebody from Willington Mara's Rolodex from the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
They also need to hire a head coach that has experience. No more of this nonsense first-time head coach's popular name crap, and no more of this, you know, oh, well, he worked for Bill Belichick and Nick Saban. Just because he worked for Bill Belichick and Nick Saban doesn't mean he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Going on from there, it's one disaster after disaster. You had awful signings, you had awful drafts, and you had horrible hires. The real victims here are the season ticket holders, the ones that pay the PSLs, and the ones like Chris yourself that, you know, travel around the country following the circus or clown show, you know, from state to state, watching them play, taking care of your rented car, your food, your flight, your room, your game ticket. We're the ones that are the victims here in all of this. And the only ones you really see defending this mess are the Giants apologists that are still drinking that goddamn blue Kool-Aid and shaking their friggin' pom-poms because they're chasing players around the parking lot for an autograph. At the end of the day, they can sit home, change the channel to Red Zone or whatever other game is on. They're not financially vested in this disaster. You know, they're not spending thousands of dollars a year. And to end on another note, I know for a fact that Joe Judge received a package from Amazon today. And in that package was a clown outfit. I'm not going to say who it was from, but it was from somebody that was very close to me who decided to send him a clown outfit through Amazon today.
Wow.
So maybe he can wear that on Sunday.
The Worm, ladies and gentlemen. Fan page, The Worm.
I got a headache from laughing. Oh, shit.
Those were
Worm went in.
We had terries in a row right there. Steve, you know, normally this is the part that we go, well, okay, so how do you see going on Sunday? And I got to tell you the truth, my friend. I really don't really want to hear it. not after those comments. I don't even know if we're...
Well,
I have no say. I'm astonished. Ed, Carl, and Worm just put it down for us. I mean... What else? What is there to look forward to, man?
Well, can I say, I don't even want to take up 2 minutes of the time because I do want to hear more from Ed, Carl, and Worm. And I think I want to spend about 45 seconds on this. And I think this is kind of where I echo the sentiments of Ed and the Worm. Matter of fact, all of us on this line can agree to this. And it goes back to Warren's point about the I feel bad for the season ticket holders. They are the drivers of the NFL. They are the drivers of all these teams. These guys, like Warren said, are locked into these prices. See, the difference between that season ticket holder fan and versus a fan like mostly like me, shout out to Carl because Carl's always on the road going to games no matter where the fuck it is. You too, Chris. I'll pop up anywhere in the country. We're not locked into no fucking PSLs. And I have the utmost respect for the Eds and the Worms because that's a lot of fucking money for that bullshit. You know what I'm saying? And like, yep. This is the worst season. And you're literally, it is a timeshare. He is absolutely correct. That is a great analogy. It's almost like I mean, I don't want to go down that road with issues around, you know, around the country, but as far as locked in the prices, you owe that debt. And you got to pay for that, and they're hoodwinking you for fucking flat sodas. That is embarrassing. This is the New York Giants, dude. I can't believe that they're even doing some of this circus shit to the season ticket holder. That's a slap in the face, man. And Chris, you already heard my rant about, 2 weeks ago? And you already know how I feel about the tailgates at Met, like, compared to other parts of the country. Like, it don't even sound like the New York vibe. You know what I'm saying, man? Like, you're not even... The entire operation needs to be revamped. Coaches, staff, everything. Operations, how you tailgate, all that shit, man. We are behind the eight ball behind a lot of teams, man. And I'm sure, like Carl will come on here and objectively say, hey, man, we don't think this team is as good, but just to watch it week in and week out. I know some of us is into the fantasy football, but, I mean, to be honest with you, Carl, I thought we were probably 6 wins. I think that's what I said. I think I still said we would be in last place anyway, but this was worse than I thought it was going to be. I'm done with that. I just wanted to echo what Ed and Worm said and Carl, but I'm glad the nightmare is over. The nightmare is not quite over. We need to see some firings. I'm not really big on firings on this show, but this is the first time I could ever remember from any of the teams we root for, I said, damn, both got to go. I don't think I ever said that at the same time.
Stinks.
Yeah, it does.
Culture stinks. There was a player at MetLife last week that he just took off his uniform, threw it down, threw the sleeve guards into the Jets crowd, actually, and as they just lambasted him, he ran off the field. And sometimes I feel like doing that when I'm at this year anyway, in 2021. I felt like doing that at Giants games. There were two games I went to. There were three, but there was two particular games I went to this year at MetLife. That was the Raiders game, which we won, thank goodness, and the Cowboy game. And in both those times, and I have to ask that this one, I could swear that it was a pro friggin' Raiders crowd. There were very blue shirts, you know, that really were there to support the team. When you were at the concessions buying something, you hear that cheer. You normally look up to find the closest monitor that you can see what play happened. Well, it was all Raiders shit that day. And I said, "What is going on here?" And that was probably the omen that I needed to see to let me know, okay, there needs to be a complete makeover here. Nothing is happy here. This is a sad place. This is almost as bad as what I told you at the top of the show when I went to Yankee Stadium in the late 60s, early 70s. It used to be a gray, dingy place. It wasn't that wonderfully harmonious Mickey Mantle haven anymore. It just looked like crap. And that's kind of like what I felt like at MetLife a little bit, even though that's a new, basically a new stadium. Anyway, so... Bleed Blue Show, Steve and Chris, once again. We're going to go back around the table. And I don't even have a question, man. Steve just said it all right there. Any more that you'd like to add, sir, while you're on the clock?
Well, let me address the two questions that came up. So first, you know, Worm and Steve mentioned season ticket holders. So I wasn't about to throw good money after bad. When you go to a game, it's an entire day. You get there 7:30 in the morning because you got to get your spot. You know, you don't get home until 7 o'clock at night. You're tailgating under all different kinds of conditions, and then come November, well, the team is out of it. So even if you wanted to sell the tickets, and I would never want to sell it to a fan of another team, you know, you ask around, nobody wants to go to the games. You know, Brian, you guys know Brian. He comes from Syracuse. It costs him $5,000 a year just to travel. And, so, you know, but the thing is that they don't really need to make money off of the season ticket holders. If nobody showed up at the stadium, they'll still make money. Okay, with all of the advertising and the licensing and everything, all that money that they're getting, they don't need to. So this week, you want to buy a ticket to the Giants-Redskins game and be one of the 20,000 fans that are going to show up? Well, the price has started at $18 a ticket. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Wow,
I mean, go on StubHub, you'll see. And if you want a parking pass, by game day, it'll be probably, you know, $10. So, and then to address Carl, you know, you asked about expectations. So most fans looked at the end of the season. They said, hey, you know what? They were 5-3 in their last 8 games. Things are looking good. You know, Daniel Jones, you know, he had his ups and downs, blah, 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 blah. But the fact of the matter is, if you take a look at what they did in the offseason, I mean, let's start with Daniel Jones. Like, Daniel Jones was a turnover machine. You know, he was, you know, he's a guy that he can run. He's not the kind of guy that, you know, that's elusive, you know, outside the pocket. He can't throw on the run, but, you know, he can get yards with his legs. He's got a good arm. He can make all the throws. But he's never going to – he has those same, you know, what-the-fuck moments, you know, where the, you know, he'll fumble or get stripped of the ball. He had no pocket presence. So I didn't have a lot of confidence in him. Then I saw that they let Tomlinson go. They didn't re-sign him. Why? Because they needed money to pay Galladay. B.J. Hill, okay, another interior lineman. Let him go. So right now, you know, you're looking at that interior line. You got Dexter Lawrence and you got Williams. And so you know what? That all of a sudden, there's a downgrade there. Martinez played really well last year. You know, he's a guy that can hit. He's good in the run game, a good tackler, but not really good in coverage. So I'm looking for an inside linebacker, and we're looking for a pass rusher, and we're looking to upgrade the offensive line. And Andrew Thomas was struggling last year. Thank God he finally got it together. You know, but then take a look at, you know, the mantra was from John Mara: let's get Daniel Jones weapons. So they went and they signed Galladay and they signed John Ross. Okay, so now that looks good. But then, you know, when they're sitting there and Micah Parsons, when they're on the clock, they trade down.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. You know what? I love Micah Parsons. I wanted Micah Parsons. Okay. Yeah. Anybody could say that after the fact, but I truly did. Go on Facebook. Okay. You'll see I did. But you know what? I didn't expect him to be as good as he did in his rookie season. You know, Rashawn Slater was sitting there. Okay. So now they trade down. The Bears take Justin Fields. But what do? You know, they pick Kadarius Toney, another receiver. So they didn't address any of the other needs that they probably had good scores for some of those players out there. Daniel Jones improved, you know, working, I guess, with his quarterback coach and working with Jason Garrett. You know, he was more than just a one-read quarterback. They were trying to teach him to go through his progressions and be able to see what's transpiring downfield and read defenses. So he was getting a little bit better at that. But, you know, he still had some problems. But, you know, I still wasn't sold on him. And they passed on Herbert the year before. And look, yeah. Look what Herbert's doing, you know, out on the left coast. So it's just a matter of my expectations were not good coming into the season. I figured, you know, maybe they'd win 5 or 6 games. The defense I thought was going to be not as good as they were last year. And it took them a little while to gain some momentum. And you know what? They play a lot of zone and a lot of cover too. So you know what? It's frustrating watching teams move down the field. But, you know, they're able to, you know, mitigate that somehow. But they're still giving up 24 points a game. But you know what? Those poor guys are on the field. They give the ball to the offense and they turn the ball back over again and they're tired by the fourth quarter. So the whole thing is not good, you know. And I think we're all in agreement. And the guys on the Big Blue Huddle, you know, they all want to see Gettleman go. Some are torn, you know, on Joe Judge. Most want to see him go. They've had enough of, you know, of the talk and not walking the walk and no results. And, you know, some of them just say, listen, you know what, let's get a new GM and let the GM decide about Joe Judge. Does he want to keep him? Does he want to replace him? Everybody feels that John Mara meddles too much and he needs to, you know, turn over and let somebody just do their job and get this thing right. But, you know, Dave Gettleman, he gutted this team, and talking about hog mollies, I think Warren mentioned it. You know, he didn't fulfill his obligation. He didn't do it. Okay, so this team's a disaster, and I think Litt has mentioned so many times. You know, I talk to him sometimes, you know, on Facebook, and he PMs me, and we have discussion. He wanted Dave Gettleman out like 10 minutes after the guy showed up. So, I mean, he called it way, way back when. You know, he was right. He was absolutely right, you know.
Absolutely. Okay. That's Ed, everyone. Ed, Big Blue Huddle, great knowledge. Great show. Oh, man, great insight. Carl, Casinos, you're up.
So I agree with Ed on a number of those fronts. I think if we look back now, and I remember mentioning this to you guys when it was only really kind of the three of us having our discussions in the summertime. And I remember saying something to the effect of the season was based on a lot of ifs. And if you're one of those like me that plays probabilities, you know, the percentage chance of all those ifs coming up successful just on its own was very low. You know, I remember saying, I was like, there was like three or four offensive line spots, guys being healthy and all the, you know, Saquon. Remember, we had the discussion like, is Saquon going to be healthy? Is Galladay going to be, you know, healthy? Is the offensive line going to, you know, perform? Is Jones going to? And there were so many ifs that were there that the percentage chance of all of those things coming up roses were, it's almost impossible to get that, you know, 9 out of 9 to work. And unfortunately, maybe 3 of the 9 even played out this season at best. So they had a losing hand going in. As far as the coach and the general manager situation goes, I don't know if the coach is trying to get himself fired, but there seems to be a lot of evidence in the last like 3 or 4 days that perhaps that's what he's trying to do because he knows he's in over his head. As far as the general manager goes, and this we don't have enough time to do it here. I actually could make a defense for him if we probably could do this on a post game or on an overtime situation, because I don't, thinking back now as we've had 4 years to reflect on it, I don't think we should have been surprised by his incompetence. I think those that are surprised are playing themselves. But I don't have enough time to outline the reasoning behind it. Like I said, we can do this on an overtime, and I can give you the reason why I think that. Now that we've had 4 years of data to play this out, but after Sunday's game, if the coach is going to be retained, then what you are telling prospective general manager candidates, unless the fix is in, okay, in terms of who wants to be hired? Like, you're not going to tell me. You're not going to tell. Let's say, as a general manager prospective candidate, hey Chris, we want you to come in here and be the general manager, only under one condition though. Can you please keep the coach? What? Like, not if Chris has options, is Chris going to say, you know what, I'm willing to take your coach, and work with him, or take job B, where I have the run of the show and I can make the decisions that I see fit? Because that's basically what the Giants are trying to set up here. The Giants are basically trying to hire someone that will work within their little structure, which will then limit the pool of candidates on purpose and then select the person from the scam talent pool that then would exist because of something that they've created. That's why I'm giving Gettleman somewhat of a, you know, an understandable pass on some of this stuff. But that's kind of the reasoning behind it. If you set up a situation where you are purposely trying to limit the talent pool to a certain set of guys on purpose. So if you're you see what I'm saying?
Yes, man, but I couldn't Kool-Aid walk with you. He sucks.
Chris. I agree with you that he sucks. Like I said, well, after the show, I'll explain to you what I mean by what I'm saying.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's from the perspective that Ed alluded to.
Yeah.
I'm in that club.
So
I can explore. Yeah. Carl, I used to tell him, ease up on him, because you directly go in on him every single time. I see it now.
That's right.
I have to apologize. Talk to him. I see it now because I'm trying to look at it from this perspective. This is an organization that's professional, been around 95 years, there's a standard. You're right. I apologize, Carl.
Last thing here, and I'll pass off to Worm. You know, unfortunately, if you sort of track where some of this went off the rails, it was unfortunately, and I have to say it, you know, I love him, but you know, I've had our discussions about it, Chris. Eli is a huge part of where this all sort of went off the rail in 2017. From McAdoo and Reese, or however that thing, that benching took place, to the owner, then firing both of them, to then looking for specifically for a general manager and a coach that would keep him, only to 1 year later draft his replacement, and then set it up where the coach, under belief he's going to get fired, then drops Manning to bring Jones in to save his job, only to be fired at the end of that season. A lot of this stems right back to that. And the decisions that were made based on that situation has manifested itself into a 5-year cycle that the Giants still are trapped in and can't get out of because of that set of events that took place in November of 2017.
Ineptitude. Got it. All right. The Worm. Worm, I'm not trying to be mean or nothing like that, but you got to give me only 2 minutes now, man, because we got two more things we got to take care of. So don't hit me, bro, when you see me. But you're on the line.
All right. I mean, yeah, going back to 2017, that's kind of where it started in that November. And Kadu and the Reese firing, that was solely because Mara knew damn well he couldn't trot them two back into that stadium for a home game in front of us because he was scared that they would have a snowball incident, you know, back in the mid-90s when the Giants, I believe they were playing the Chargers, and the snowballs came raining down from the third deck. I think this time it would have been beer bottles because it didn't snow that weekend. And there was protests that were being set up in the parking lot because I remember when I worked for the Fan Van, people were reaching out to us wanting to, you know, contact us so that we could be a meeting spot for them for their protest of the Giants. As far as the you know, Judge, if he's going to get fired, which I hope he does, it's not going to be on Black Monday. I think they're going to go and find the GM first. And hopefully it's going to be somebody with no ties that's going to be football-minded and that's going to put Mara in his place and let him make the decisions on the front office and football operations personnel. When McAdoo was hired as the head coach, remember, the Eagles were looking to bring McAdoo in for an interview. And Mara, I fully in my heart believe he only hired McAdoo because he was scared he was going to go to Philly and, you know, they were going to run the division and run the table on the Giants.
I believe it, but I got to tell you something. I got to cut you off for a minute, Warren. I got to cut you off.
Okay.
I need a few things. Steve,
okay.
What is the order, sir, of the picks this week?
All right, let's jump into it, man. We got Steelers at Ravens. We got Steelers at Ravens. Chargers at Raiders. Cowboys at Eagles. And the Washington football team at the Giants. And it's come down to this, Chris. It is a one-point difference. I got a one-point lead on Carl. You and Lady Blue are a little bit in the distance. You know, you can play for bragging rights. We know we're going to have a new champion on the confidence picks. Let's jump right into it. You got Steelers at Ravens, Chargers at Raiders, Cowboys at Eagles, Washington football team at the New York football Giants. Let's cue it up. Let's start with Carl. I already wrote down my picks about 2 hours ago. And we can lead it off with Carl. He's going to give his picks, man.
All right. All right, let's close this out. Let's go Washington 4, Dallas 3. Let's go the last two. Let's go Baltimore 2. And since it'll be the last game of the season, the last game we'll see for the regular season, give me the Chargers with 1.
Okay. Interesting.
Very interesting. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
You can just give it to me. This is cool.
Oh, yeah, I'll just tell you who I'm picking. I'm going with the Ravens.
Okay.
Okay. Chargers. You know, Cowboys is going to be tough because I don't know if they're going to play the starters, but I'm going with the Cowboys and I think Washington football team over the Giants.
Okay. Right. Cool. Worm.
Yes, sir.
Give it to me.
I'm going to go to Redskins. I'm going to go to Ravens, the Chargers, and then the Eagles.
Okay. Steve, I've got Raiders 1, Ravens 2, Cowboys 3, and Washington football team 4.
It's going to break your heart, man. This is what I wrote down 2 hours ago, man. Carl, we're in sync with Washington football team. There's going to be a nudge or a wash at 4. But this Dallas and Philadelphia team, listen, Chris, I'm going with your Philadelphia Eagles, man. I got to go. I went with them with a 1, though. I went with them with a 1, Chris. I can't trust them, though. I can't trust them. I went with the Chargers with a 3, and I also had the Ravens at a 2. So, Carl, Saturday, bro, that Dallas and Philadelphia game is all on us, man. I'm looking forward to that one, man. It's like a cancer and a heart attack. But for confidence picks, let's do this, man. Have some fun, man. Yeah, put the toilet on that. Yeah, put the toilet. I heard the toilet.
I'll find it. But, Greg, you were saying. Okay.
Final thoughts, man.
Anyway, final thoughts. Ed, give me a final thought, sir.
Final thoughts. I think that you're going to have a lot of drunk fans at the stadium. I don't think Washington fans are going to be coming up for that game. So I think it'll be people that are looking to just get out and have a good time. Maybe 15, 20,000 fans show up. I think if it gets bad and it gets nasty, it's going to get ugly, and they're going to call for firings, and I don't know what they're going to do. You know, they booed John Mara twice. I would like to see Jake Fromm do well. I think he's a better quarterback than he's shown. If they could protect him somehow, I'd like to see if they could develop him as a backup quarterback. So, you know, I'm going to be rooting for Jake Fromm this game.
All right. That's Ed, Big Blue Huddle. Carl.
GiantsFans.net. GiantsFans.net, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right, .net.
Yes. Appreciate it, Ed, as well. You know, saying goodbye, you know, a couple weeks ago, I think it was Chris was talking about, you know, what we should do as fans. And I decided that as long as the coach is going to be retained after Sunday's game, I'm just as a protest myself, I'm just not going to go to a home game next season. And I feel like that's my way of just sort of sending a message to the team that, hey, listen, you know what? You have to earn support. Support is not just given. You know, you have to earn it. And until they do, you know, I'll be with you guys on the road, but I will not be there at MetLife Stadium at all.
That's a declaration for Carlos C. Notes that I happen to agree with. I'm with you, Carl. Thank you, bro. Worm, final thought.
Well, I'm going to say this. I know a lot of my friends that have season tickets who are taking her out, if they're just walking away. they can't do it.
Gotcha.
If when Gettleman is retired, fired, whatever you want to call it, and Kevin Abrams is brought in as the GM, that is going to be a tough pill to swallow, and that's not going to really want me to, you know, make me want to pay my season ticket bill in 3 months when I receive it. And keeping Joe Judge with him, I'm going to think twice whether I want to pay that ticket bill when I get the first installment in March. I may not want to.
Right.
So, I mean, it's – I hate to do it, but that badge of honor, that might be the way to getting out of that bad timeshare with the moldy sandwiches and the flat Pepsis.
There you go. That might – all right. Carl, that's the Worm and Fan Page. Worm, we want to thank him, Carl Zacino, Ed Big Blue Huddle, everybody that listened to us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Out all of our shows, including the Yankees, Rangers, and Knickerbocker shows on iTunes, Podcast Republic, Stitcher app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Check out our fan page for video episodes, great pictures, and the whole nine yards. I like to say thank you for the whole effort all year long, Patrick Graham. And Saquon, bless you, man. Hope you find really, really great happiness in the future. And I'm going to kick this over to Azul and close this out.
Peace. All right. Last year, despite the fact that the world essentially closed down mid-March, we had already had the All-Star games.
Listen, man. Oh, we made it through. No post game on Sunday. I mean, this is the first time in what, 7 years we cut back on the post games. But nonetheless, we'll be back next Thursday at 8 p.m. for the NFL playoffs. So feel free to jump on and talk some playoff football, talk some real football. And also on an every other week basis, every other Thursday at 8 p.m. We'll be on throughout the offseason. So be on the lookout, man. Just look at the schedule, BleedBlueShow.com or the Blog Talk Radio, either or, for the schedule. And it was a tough, painful season. Got to go, man. Sangres. I don't know, Chris, if you're doing the overtime. I got a game to watch, but I'll talk to you guys later. Sangres.
We're not gonna do overtime this week. Ed, I love you, man. Stay in touch, Big Blue Hodo.
Shout out
Carl,
to Ed.
At the scene. Come on back. You know how that goes. Worm, we'll talk to you soon. Sangres, Asu. It's been real. It's been real.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep.